There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
That was more entertaining than I thought it'd be. And Coulson, if you turn to your left, it looked like you're, mad at everybody. Will you do that for me?
I like smart for this
goal. This is podcast goal.
Oh yeah, God, we're still recording, aren't we? All right.
I smell terrible.
Have you showered today?
I forgot to shower today.
It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm going to be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
Got my sweet jerk box with some shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bouncy castle?
Hitler. Just prepare to. Just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast, and we're part of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Today is February 12th, 2017, and this is episode 225. Coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're just discussing a rough week in Pacers basketball, including games against the Thunder, Cavs, Wizards, and Bucks. Today's podcast is brought to you by GlassesUSA.com, home of the virtual mirror. You can try on any pair of glasses by uploading your photo or importing it from Facebook and seeing it through the virtual mirror. Just click to see yourself in any pair of glasses at GlassesUSA.com. Before we get started, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do it at these places. We are on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We are on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. We're at TheUndebeatables.com. And you can send us an email at shoutouts@TheUndebeatables.com. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor. Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Want to give a quick shout out to my friend Mike, who treated me to his extra ticket for the greatest regular season basketball game so far this year. Wizards Cavs. I was in the building. It was crazy. Crazy shots. overtime, 140, 135. Oh my God. It was intense. It was the whole build. That was the best Wizards crowd I've been in the phone booth since I've been here.
I bet.
It was awesome.
That LeBron shot to tie the game up was just unbelievable.
Yeah, it was nuts.
And then he fouled out later, which has only happened, I think, 5 or 6 times in his entire career. Mm-hmm. So you got to see, you got your money's worth.
Totally.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Coulson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? I want to shout out to all the lovers out there. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. I'd also like to anti-shout out working at a job that's closed on Tuesdays. My entire adult life, I've been able to get out of this stupid holiday because I had to work. but now I've got to go out on Valentine's Day. Actually, Kyle's pretty cool. She doesn't want me to... You don't want to go out on the holiday. We're just going to go to some dive bar and get drunk. So it'll be all right.
That's what she says now. What does she say on the 15th?
What does she say on the 17th? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll hear
from
about
Eugene.
It.
From Eugene, Oregon, out west, our enforcer, John Harper.
What's going on, fellas? I'm back in Oregon. Had a great time out in Texas. Saw what I would have said was the best game of the week if it hadn't been for that Cavs War or Cavs Wiz game. Blazers come out on top against the Mavs. It was pretty amazing. CJ McCollum hit a three to win it at the buzzer. It was a good game. Good game. Good trip. Shout out, Nico. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks to Nico again last week, hanging out with us there. Speaking of Nico, there's actually a trade involving those Blazers. Blazers Nuggets getting some stuff going on. Colson, you were really excited about this one. You said it moved the needle probably to the edge and beyond, right?
Well, there are two items to note, I think, on this. One, this is the second Plumlee to be moved in a week, I believe.
That's definitely a record.
So the Blazers trade Mason Plumlee and a second-round pick to the Nuggets for Yusuf Nurkic and a first-round pick. My reading of this is it's pretty much a salary dump from the Blazers, getting a Nurkic who's on a rookie deal. Mason Plumlee's coming up for a contract after this season. And they got a first-round draft pick out of it. I don't know why the Nuggets would include that. But the other interesting note of this thing is that it's the two teams that are fighting for the eighth spot in the West.
Yeah, I read this a completely different way. I feel like the Blazers just fleeced the Nuggets on this one. Why is Nurkic not a better player than Plumlee? And they get a first-round draft pick? That's
right.
What
I don't understand the first-round draft pick at all. I'm with you. But I don't know that Nurkic is that much better than Plumlee. I mean, I think, like, Plumlee's a passer, and I don't think Nurkic is, really. I don't know. They both score, like, 5 points a game, don't they?
I think Plumlee's he's got 12. Career highs this year of, like, 11 and 8 or something.
Yeah.
And he's an athletic, big guy that can kind of defend the rim. But I feel like Nurkic's ceiling is way higher than Plumlee's.
For sure. But wasn't this the issue that the Blazers need some defense? Is Nurkic really a defender? Does this solve their problem?
I think he's not a significant step down from Plumlee.
Yeah. I think that this addresses what I suggested last week, is the Blazers, for how young they are, don't really have much in the way of actual projects that they can work on, right? So I feel like from the Nuggets, I mean, I see, my first thought was that they must have fleeced him too, but the more I think about it, the more I'm like, they were willing to do anything that they had to get rid of this guy, right? The Denver was really over this, so much so that they were willing to give up a first-round draft pick. I mean, the upside is, even if all you did was trade Plumlee for a first-round draft pick that's only top five protected, you came out okay. Sure. But it seems pretty clear that Nurkic had some issues.
Had irritated
in Denver.
The locker room in Denver.
Yeah, I would say so. Apparently some conditioning and attitude problems, and they certainly couldn't find a place to work him in, playing at the same time as Jokic, so one of them had to go, and they made their choice.
Yeah, he was bummed after he lost the starting spot. They were trying to start him at power forward, right? And that wasn't working. And so
they tried them separately. They tried them together. Yeah. None of it worked. But at the end of the day, you got to think the Blazers got the better end of the deal. Even if they can't develop, Nurkic into something, they got a first-round draft pick, and that's awfully valuable in this league. Who'd have thought that Plumlee was getting traded for a first-round pick?
Yeah, right?
Of note, it is Memphis's first-round pick, so it probably won't be as good as, say, the Nuggets pick, but it'll still be late teens,
nonetheless,
upper 20s,
the Blazers will have three first-round draft picks this year.
That's right.
So.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so they will get a chance to actually do the rebuilding that that they need to do.
So whichever team ends up making the playoffs can say they won that trade. Is that how this is going to work?
I don't know that you can evaluate in that short of a term, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, whichever team makes it, the player that they picked is clearly going to be the pivotal thing, right?
I mean, these sure. guys are just exactly.
These guys are both surefire all-stars next year, so.
But I do think that this gives the Nuggets the inside track to get that A spot, probably. They've been playing pretty good ball lately and, you know, solve their locker room issues, weaken another team temporarily that they're competing with. It puts them in good position, which I think they wanted to do this year. You know, they've been building for a while, so now it's time to start getting into the first round and getting waxed by Golden State to get that playoff experience, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, whenever you want. That's the sound of the not all that fast break.
We had four games of Pacers basketball to talk about this week. First one, Thunder visit the Fieldhouse Monday, February 6th, and the Pacers win 93-90. It's a sweep of the season series for the Pacers over the Thunder. Colson, we were talking before the show, and you were looking at the box score saying, how did the Pacers managed to win this one? Russell Westbrook had a great game. How were the Pacers able to win?
I thought this was a good team win. It was defense. It was hustle. We scrapped this one out. It was an ugly, low-scoring game. Neither team shot very well. The reason I was wondering how we won this game from the box score is that... the Thunder had 61 rebounds to the Pacers 37. I mean, that's just insane. And we somehow came out with a 3-point victory. But yeah, I thought we really we scrapped this one out. Everybody contributed. CJ Miles was 1 of 7 from the range, and we usually struggle when he's not hitting shots. But yeah, we pulled this out. So.
It's all about shutting down Westbrook. I mean, didn't give up the triple-double. He was only 27, 8, and 9, so.
He's really game planning for 27, 18, and 9. He had 18 boards.
18 rebounds.
Yeah,
I didn't get to see this game, so I have no idea. I can't really comment. But from what I read, it seemed like Jeff Teague did a good job of at least making life tough for Westbrook. And then they just did just enough basically to hold on in the end is what it sounded like. They Westbrook had a couple looks at threes to tie the game down the stretch and just missed them both. So
right. Yeah, they were both well defended right at the end of the game, but yeah, they definitely had their looks. I thought Miles Turner did all right. 10-5. LaVoy Allen was not terribly effective. You know, Thaddeus Young is still out at this time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just keeping Westbrook, you know, under 40 is an accomplishment. So good work on there, Jeff Teague.
And it looks like coming out of the halftime break is pivotal for this team. You know, they win the third quarter here, 32-18, and that really set the stage for the win.
Right,
just maintain that lead after the third quarter, and that gets them their eighth straight win. I believe this was right, seventh straight win. Yeah.
So during that 7-game win streak, we were number one in the NBA in points allowed, number one in points allowed in the second half, second in points allowed in the fourth quarter. We were first in field goal. Percentage, so offensively, and then second in turnovers forced. So that's not bad for that 7-game win streak.
Yeah, that's
so. I'm noticing you don't talk about 8-game win streak or anything longer than that.
A little foreshadowing there.
Yeah, they did take on the Cleveland Cavaliers next. This was Wednesday, February 8th. Cavaliers were in town, and they did they worked the Pacers pretty good, 132-117. First half was great, though. They looked Pacers looked solid in the first half, taking a lead in the halftime, and then gave up 40 points in the third quarter and 35 in the fourth. So Colson not keeping those stats up from the win streak against the Cavs. Jason, you saw this game. Anything else besides that? LeBron, you know, you saw LeBron do some work. What did he do against the Pacers?
He just dropped a ho-hum 25, 6, and 9 and pretty much bottled up Paul George there when needed. Yeah, this was the third quarter. This was the Pacers just did not come out with force in the third quarter, and the Cavs did. And they, you know, outscored the Pacers in that quarter 40 to 18. The rest of the game, the Pacers outscored the Cavs, I believe it was 99 to 93 or something like that. So you outplay a team for three quarters, but you lose. That's and you lose by 15 or whatever we did. That's that's where you lost that game, man. I mean, the Cavs are just, they're a really, really good basketball team. Up and down the roster, you know, they have three all-stars on the roster. What, they have the best player on the planet. They play with a tremendous amount of confidence and really can step up the defense when they need to. And that's what makes them the world champs, basically, is they can flip the switch. They have that capability as a professional team, and they did that in the third quarter, and the Pacers could not recover. That's what,
well, I thought they also did it right down the stretch. I mean, we dragged our way back into this game. We're only down 7 with 5 minutes to go, and they just closed this out like champs. They just they didn't get scared. And Kyle Korver hit a couple dagger threes. In fact, I thought he killed us in this game. I don't know what he ended with.
29
points. He kept them in this
game.
Yeah, he kept them in this game early, like in the first and second when we were really playing well. We were up 15 at one point. And he would just hit a three and get him a little bit closer, you know, and hit another three, and he kept him in this game.
Flipping guys until, 8 and 9 from three-point range.
Yeah. He makes them so dangerous. That was such a – I can't believe the league let them pick him up for, like, nothing.
You're looking for league intervention on that?
I am.
I mean, it's not as if the Pacers didn't shoot their own ridiculous percentage from three-point range. I mean, we shot 52% from three-point range, you know.
Yeah, I mean, CJ was great in this
To me,
one.
This was a game, yeah, that, you know, you can't give up 132 points. Like, it's hard to beat teams when you do that.
Yeah.
So. They're really good offensively, but that's not us. That's us not playing enough defense, you know?
Yeah. I mean, as good as defense as we played in the OKC game, we played poorly in this one, right?
Yeah.
I thought the Cavaliers just did a fantastic job moving the ball. You know, I remember it was specific possession towards the end of the game. Kyrie is running up the right side, picks out LeBron cutting towards the rim. Defense actually collapsed nicely onto LeBron, but that left Korver wide open at the three-point line, which clearly is – you can't do that because he's going to hit player. That. They just – you know, and Korver was open pretty much all day. You know, he was – the shots he was taking were mostly uncontested. And he's – I mean, clearly he's, you know – he's not the most athletic guy, so he's got to be able to do what he does. He needs to be smart and get open, and he does. And the Pacers did not defend the three-point line well enough. Because if you're in his grill, he's not going to take those shots. Or generally, you know, not as many of those.
I like what you said, Jason, about them having another gear. You know, yeah, you're right. They came out of that third. And because I think we were playing playoff intensity basketball, at least on the offensive end. I thought we were cutting hard. In that first half, but they just had a different level that we didn't have a responding punch to coming out of that half. And you know, it's funny, the Pacers went cold, and I thought, you know, Paul George really tried to do the thing where he would stop these runs, stop the bleeding, but what he was doing was he was looking for fouls instead of just saying, I'm going to score this basket. And I thought that he kind of most of that third quarter had that mentality, and it, you know, they weren't calling them. So it just got out of control.
Yeah. And they, I mean, the Cavs, in addition to having that gear, they can smell blood in the water. So they know when a team is vulnerable, and they capitalize on that and capitalize on mistakes that that team makes during those stretches. Yeah. So, but, I mean, it's a measuring stick game.
For 3 quarters, we went toe-to-toe?
Yeah. Sure, yeah. I mean, if you want to draw a silver lining, that first half was fantastic, you know? I thought the boys played super well. You know, Paul George did a good job getting his guys involved, I think. Jeff Teague went toe-to-toe with Kyrie Irving. They just have, you know, a little bit more firepower than we do right now. And that championship mentality, right?
They closed out the first half with a 5-0 run, and they opened the third quarter with a 5-0 run. Boom, it's 10 points, you know? Mm-hmm. It's that easy. You think you're getting ahead, and then boom.
So let's call it a 7.5 game winning streak for the Pacers. I want to take a minute here to give a message from our sponsor. For you listeners of the Undebeatables, GlassesUSA.com is offering 55% off any pair of glasses at checkout when you use the promo code ALMIGHTY. I'm a man of many looks, and I wear glasses too, and I love the frame selection offered at GlassesUSA.com. They've got a huge selection, over 2,500 styles. They've got their own in-house brands, Muse, Amelia E., and they've got, of course, designer brands, Ray-Ban, Oakley, Tom Ford, Adidas. They've got a wide variety of frame styles. They've got full rim, half rim, rimless. And they got some made of different materials. They got sports glasses, safety glasses, kids glasses, prescription or non-prescription sunglasses, and more. You can get a huge discount on any pair of glasses by going to glassesusa.com and entering the promo code ALMIGHTY at checkout. It's glassesusa.com, promo code ALMIGHTY.
Coulson, Mama Coulson has used this virtual mirror thing, right, to find her glasses?
Oh, no, actually, this is Kyle's mom. She was on the website doing this virtual mirror thing, and boy, she got in such hysterics because we were, you know, putting on a little bit more outlandish glasses on her, and it's really funny.
That's awesome.
So it's worth doing there just for fun, too. But she did end up ordering glasses off glasses.com.
Well, if she'd used the promo code ALMIGHTY, she could have saved 55%.
That's right. If only she'd known.
Yep. We got two more games of Pacers basketball this week. Third one, Pacers travel to JT's homeland, the Washington Wizards, in the phone booth. And they take them down. Wizards take them down. 112-107. This is Friday, February 10th. You know, I thought Paul George had a great game. You know, he put up 31 points. I think when the big stars are out there, you know, Paul George generally shows up and plays. You know, John Wall was on the other side, put up his 26 points, 14 assists. Jason, what did the Pacers come up short with besides just a couple points?
Well, three-point shooting is the story of this game for me. CJ Miles could not find the farm, let alone the broadside of the barn in this game from three-point range. But I did think, I thought that the Pacers played well in this game. I thought they put forth effort, you know, and Paul George had said to the media he was interested to see how this team responded from the Cavs loss, and I thought they did well, other than not making shots, which is tough. The other storyline was Markieff Morris. Who the F is Markieff Morris? Come on. But he dropped 26 in this game, was hitting from everywhere. And John Wall. John Wall is playing at an MVP level. We talked about it with Dave from Zardcast last week, that were it not for, you know, Westbrook, Harden, and Curry, Wall would be in this conversation of the best point guard in the league right now. And he's playing at a really high level right now, has ultimate control of his team, I think, and puts his guys in the best position to win. I mean, Markieff Morris scored a lot of those baskets because John Wall created wide open looks for him, basically. And Paul George, kudos to Paul. I think Paul George loves playing the Wizards. I think he's averaging like 30 points against them the last 3 years or something like that. But needed a little bit more help from his guys on this night and just couldn't get it.
Yeah, Jeff Teague. The rest of the starters, Jeff Teague, LaVoy Allen, Miles Turner, all, you know, decent games for them. But you're right, Jason. He needed just a little bit more help. CJ Miles, poor guy, was not hitting. And you're right. Markieff Morris was driving me nuts there. He was just hitting. He hit so many shots that I was fine with him taking. But he was sinking. Well, 26 points at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's a 5-point game. You play them to a draw on the boards. You could argue the marching quartet also won this game for them with all the offensive rebounds down the stretch. Yeah,
he had 8 offensive rebounds, and I think 4 of them were in the last 5 minutes. And I think we win this game if we get 1 or 2 of those.
Well, I think you could definitely make that argument. You could also make the argument that if we would just hit like one more 3-pointer earlier in the game,
sure,
we would have been in control of this game, I think.
Well, I thought the bench played well in this game. I liked being on ESPN, the little high def and the glamour and the national guys doing stuff. It was a fun game to watch. I wanted to come out with a victory, but we're on the road against one of the hottest teams in the NBA, mm-hmm. and you know we're a couple O boards away from winning this game in my mind.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, but everything else was well. You know, the Pacers took care of the ball. Actually, both of these teams took care of the ball. You mentioned earlier, Colson, that the Pacers were number 2 in the league during that 7-game win streak and taking the ball away from the other team. The Wizards were the number 1 team, I think, during that stretch. Hmm. But both teams, despite that, only 11 turnovers. So it was a really well-played game, I thought. You would have loved, you know, you loved Hubie Brown, given LaVoy Allen love, which
I did.
I thought was great.
And Al Jefferson, Ellis, he was loving on our bench. Because they did. They played well. They deserved love in this game.
And this will be interesting. I think as it stands right now, the Pacers, if the playoffs started today, the Pacers would play the Wizards. And I think that's
I'm all in. I would take really 7 games of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would watch that for sure. Last game of the week, the second night of the back-to-back, Pacers come back home. It's 90s night in the Fieldhouse. All sorts of good 90s people showing up there. Dale Davis, Rick Smits, Travis Best, taking on the Bucks. But the Pacers couldn't hold on, losing 100-116. And I thought Antetokounmpo was held relatively in check, Harbor, but they didn't need a ton of points from him, did they?
Well, I mean, you know, 28-10, if that's in check, then we got him locked.
He scored, like, I think 40 the night before. So, or
like yeah, before, he did. So. I think he had a couple 40-point outings in last week or something. They just ate us up. They also get 19 from Teletovic, 17 from Monroe. How do you get 17 points from Brogdon? Tony Snell was 4 or 5 from 3-point range. I mean, they were just kind of clicking on all cylinders. And Antetokounmpo is definitely the guy who makes that engine go. He helps create those looks that these guys are knocking down. But we got just outworked in the second half of this game. Hmm. And well, they have Michael Beasley on their team. So you can't have it. You just cannot have it.
Starting even. So this is a theme now for these three losses, right? Just these third quarters, mm-hmm. coming out of the half, not playing well. I mean, we've been a fantastic second half team in that win streak, and then I don't know, maybe the win one for the Gipper speeches at halftime are starting to, you know, sound a little thin.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, this is the game. I mean, I think that the other two losses, you could say, you know, the level of competition is significantly better. The Bucks have been in a funk for a while, and they just lost Jabari Parker. This seemed like a game that the Pacers, you know, should circle and be like, yeah. Let's get this one.
At home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At home.
Yeah. No, this was definitely not a good loss. Monte Ellis played pretty well in the Wizards game. I think he had 8 points, 8 assists. In this one, he had 18 points on 7 of 10 shooting. So the good news is Monte Ellis is coming around a little bit, but it doesn't seem to be helping us much.
He had two monster dunks that
he
I
did
was...
have monster dunks. What was that?
This was get up out of your seat kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I was really excited.
You know, I thought we were going to win that game when he threw down that second one. I was like, oh, yeah, we're coming back and we're going to win this thing. That did not come to pass, however.
But Colson, your buddy Teletovich, is that's his name?
Yeah, right? Teletovich. The guy, he kills us every time.
That was unnecessary.
Maybe
you know?
He's just
that
mad because we always mispronounce his name.
He's been listening to the pod, and so he's taking it out on the Pacers.
Damn, he's got the undebeatable circled on his calendar.
So I actually, go ahead.
I didn't get a chance to watch this game. It seems like everybody played well except Jeff Teague and Paul
question.
George. Yeah, are the two leaders, and Paul George has 13. Jeff Teague takes two shots.
Only
has 2 points. Like, what's going on? Do you think there was some sort of conversation about how you're shooting too much or something? Because that is just so out of the norm for him. He plays 32 minutes. What's going on there?
And I will say this, his 2 points came in garbage time, too. Mm-hmm. So, and Paul George had 7 or 8 points until the last, you know, he hit two shots really late. So he was in single digits for almost the entire game. He was in foul trouble early. I got three fouls like pretty quickly. So he sat a lot, at least in the first half. And then they had Dellavedova guarding him for long stretches.
He should be able to rip up Dellavedova.
I mean, he just didn't.
I get maybe Antetokounmpo took out Paul George maybe. I mean, I could see that. But how is Teague not just ripping this team apart? That's really disheartening. I mean, it's disheartening that we lost to the Bucks in general at home. You know, I think if we win this game, this whole week feels better, right? But now we're all pretty discouraged because this is a terrible loss.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a bad
also
loss.
for me, the you know we see if you guys watch, you know, if you're on YouTube. On the NBA Reddit site, you see anywhere. You see a lot of Antetokounmpo crazy highlights. There was another one this game where he received the ball. He received a pass at midcourt. He took literally exactly one dribble and was able to dunk it. He picked up his dribble at the three-point line.
Sure.
And this was all legal just because he's the Greek freak.
That was the free throw line dunk?
Yeah, he basically dunked from the free throw line, but he picked up his dribble at the three-point line. And he just, his steps are that, I don't know, he's just, it ain't right. It ain't natural.
It ain't natural.
But this is like, I feel like this is just par for the course for the Pacers to drop a game to the Bucks in February that they shouldn't drop. Like,
exactly.
This is just what we do. So hopefully we can shrug this off. The worry is that the schedule, as we mentioned last week, stays tough for this next week. So, All-Star game coming up next weekend, which we're going to talk about on the Thursday show, all those festivities and whatnot. But before we get to that, the Pacers host the Spurs on Monday, and then they travel to Cleveland on Wednesday.
Ooh.
And then back-to-back Thursday versus the Washington Wizards back in Bankers Life Fieldhouse. So those are three playoff teams. Two of those teams are championship contenders, and the third team fancies themselves that as well. So this is a tough test for the Pacers going into the All-Star break. And you don't want to go into the All-Star break having lost
on a six-game
straight. Like, that's not – that doesn't give anybody a good vacation.
Boy, they're going to have to work hard not to have that happen because all those teams are solid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we owe the Wizards one. We're going to be at our house.
Sure.
I'm picking up that win.
Yeah. San Antonio. Pop might just sit his whole team right before the All-Star break,
That's
right?
True. That's true.
You know?
They're on their
the rodeo trip.
Rodeo trip, yeah.
Yeah, so, they're deep on their rodeo trip.
Yeah, so maybe they'll be resting people.
Yeah. And Cleveland is going to spank us that game on national TV, LeBron does not make a habit of losing the nationally televised games. So 2-1.
Yeah, let's do
well,
it.
Well, I'm more worried about Kyrie Irving now. He worked us this last game. Got to do something.
Boy, he's incredible, man. That against the Wizards, he took over in overtime. Like, because LeBron, you mentioned at the top, you know, that LeBron fouled out. And, you know, everybody was like, oh, yeah. Like, in the crowd, we're like, all right, cool, cool, cool.
We got this.
Oh, wait, they have two other All-NBA guys. Like,
right, exactly. Whoops. Yeah. When we're playing them, they have three of the best four guys on the court.
Sure.
You know, and I thought, you know, the game that we played against the Cavs, you know, LeBron was brilliant. But it was Kyrie that won that third quarter. I mean, he just took over in that third quarter. And it was 40-18. And it was mainly him just doing what he wanted. So, got to figure out how to put a body on him.
He's good at the basketball.
He is good at the basketball.
If you put a body on him, he'll just find the open player.
Yeah, or run over that body and not look back.
As far as I can tell, the only way to win is to not play.
So optimistic of you.
Wow. So you're saying like we're just going to skip that game? Is that your plan?
Abandon all hope, ye who enter here.
Man, they should put that above the visitors' locker room.
Title of the show, I think, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, until Thursday, you can find us on Twitter. Thanks for all the tweets we've been getting recently. You can find us on Facebook.com/TheUnbeatables. Our website is theunbeatables.com. There's the contact form there. You can send us all a message. You can review us on iTunes. We got a lot of reviews, and thanks everyone who's been doing that. We got t-shirts for sale.
For our once and always coach, Bobby Sick-Leonard, now in the Hall of Fame. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
Are you going to sing that at the charity game that you're calling?
If it's a blowout, you know, I mean, you want to.
You should do it at the end, no matter what.
Okay. I could do that. So,
wait, what's this charity event you're talking about?
So I've got the Court of Dreams set up by the Starfish Initiative. The Starfish Initiative basically works with underprivileged children to help them get through high school and prepare for college. And they have 100% graduation rate for kids who are in this program. And 98% of them get accepted to colleges. So you could pay some money and end up being on a 5-on-5 scrimmage on the fieldhouse floor. And that all goes to their charity. I will be your MC for the event. So
nice.
Cool. Yeah.
So I don't know that you can come out and see me because it's a private event, but we'll see if we can get some recordings or something, and we'll talk about it next week.
You could give some money, they'll probably let you in.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Do you have your catchphrases like picked out already, or are you gonna work on that?
Sure, like my Marv Albert stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like from way downtown.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Yes. People love that one.
I'm gonna try to use the word eviscerated at least twice.
Ooh, twice. All right.
Once a half.
I like it. I like it.
Can you use the word commiserate as well?
Okay. Start making me a list, and I will do what I can to put all these words in. Weird phrases, whatever you need. Yeah, the fans can tweet in weird things you want me to say.
I like
that. I'll try to make a little check mark about how many things I get said.
Oh, I like this. It's going to be like, whose line is it anyway?
Right.
Do this one as a captain of a ship.
Yo, everybody get up. Everybody get up. Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like Geico is more than just a company that can save you money. Geico also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.